DG8 on Rumble says, thank you for reminding everyone how tyrannical COVID tyranny was and that nobody has been held accountable. That's right. One of the worst governors. What's his reward for this? Well, he gets on the VP ticket. And we have the two presidents who presided over this, who funded this, because it started from there. They provided the money. Again, this was the plan all along. They didn't want to have a 10th Amendment fight. And so what they did was they did everything with money, with the exception of the orders to the military, which Trump had already put in place for when it became technically approved, right? Difference between authorized and approved. Again, semantics. Legal semantics from the bureaucracy. You got emergency use authorization. Well, we can't mandate it. But when the FDA says it's approved, we can mandate it. They didn't do any testing. They just rubber stamped it. Gave it another name. It's no longer approved. It's now authorized. The whole thing was a scam. And they had planned it 20 years before and practiced it. They, with the 9/11 and then the anthrax attack, they put out model legislation so that it could all be run through the states, just exactly like Tim Walsh was doing. Let's take a look at his history on what he's done with abortion. Again, one of the worst governors when it comes to ripping children apart in the womb or ripping them apart psychologically and then surgically with the gender stuff. And when I say one of the worst, it's because of his born alive abortions that he put in there. Opens the door for Trump and the GOP to flip this argument about abortion extremism. People are saying, well, the GOP governors have gotten too extreme. They're stopping abortions at 6 weeks or whatever, or 12 weeks. That's too extreme. Well, these people don't want to have any limitations whatsoever, and he's an example of that. And so most Americans believe that aborting babies that can survive on their own, ripping them apart instead, most people think that's extreme. And so this is an opening for the Republicans to talk about this. The problem is that Republicans don't want to show people what abortion is. And so they like to talk about, well, we got the exceptions. Well, and I'm not responsible anyway. It's just in the states, playing that game. Yeah, of course, Trump's going to jump on that. That's the game he played with COVID. At least 8 infants were born alive after botched abortions in Minnesota. Not a single one was given life saving care. Now, here's... When you look at this, I wonder how many people have been executed, prisoners, who are murderers. You think about that, and I support capital punishment, but I don't support our Justice Department. I've seen too many people get railroaded by corrupt courts and judges and things like that. So I'm very, very cautious, and in general, I don't like to see the death penalty used in most cases. I think there are some cases where it's clear cut, but in many cases, I don't trust our justice system. My aunt and uncle were murdered by a guy who claims that he was high on drugs, as if that is some kind of an excuse. Except he was known to be high on drugs, which is why he had rented a duplex from them. They were living on one side and they rented out the other side. He turned himself in. He confessed. There wasn't any question about it. He wasn't railroaded in court. But for decades, people in Canada who was sitting there on death row, but they never applied it. They had one appeal after the other. He wrote poetry. I had some leftist groups in Canada that liked the poetry that he wrote. So they wanted to fight that. They wanted to get him out, as a matter of fact. But he never got out. And my cousin would always go and remind the parole officers what he had done. The fact that he was, when the detective testified in court. He broke down. A veteran detective broke down in tears when he described what he did to my aunt and uncle. But, he writes poetry, so he should be set loose, right? I support the death penalty in practice in some cases and in principle, but I'm still worried about the court system. And yet, when you look at, eventually, by the way, he died a very slow, painful death from cancer, and stayed in prison. So when you look at what we do for the death penalty, we have trials, we have appeals and appeals and appeals and appeals, and people are very careful about that. And we don't execute that many people. But, you know, they executed about the same number or more babies in Minnesota under Tim Walsh than Texas, which executes more prisoners than any other state by far. But he executed babies in Minnesota with these policies. And what he contributed to this was they had been documenting this and reporting it. And so when Tim Walsh became governor, he shut down the reporting of the murder of these babies who had survived the attempted murder of the abortion. Texas, there were three people executed in 2020, and three people in 2021, five people in 2022, and so forth. Well, they had five babies that were executed. They didn't give them any care. I mean, these poor babies are tortured as part of this abortion. They're struggling to live, and they either let them die or they set them off to the side. They call that comfort care. That's what Ralph Northam called it. Everybody's like, what? What is he talking about? Comfort care. Yeah, we set them off to the side and just let them die. And, you know, Ralph Northam was trained as a doctor. I hesitate to call somebody that treats life so callously as a doctor. But they had five babies that they let die that year when Texas executed three criminals. Three criminals. What have the babies done? Nothing. Did they have a review process for them? No. Anybody care about that? Was there any leniency or any pardon from the governor? No. What Tim Walz did was he said, we're going to stop reporting that stuff. Shut down that reporting. Hide it. Hide what we're doing to these kids. That's his response to all of this stuff. Doctors, nurses, medical professionals, do not administer life-saving care to infants born alive during the abortion procedure in Minnesota. And when they shut this down and shut down the reporting of it, it closed one of the few statistical windows on late-term abortions and the possibilities that babies born alive were left to die. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness, he said. Well, I guess one person's execution is another person's abortion, right? And just as a reminder, Lala Harris went after David Dalyden, who was exposing the murder for hire that was happening with Planned Parenthood. So she said, well, we're going to go after the whistleblower, not Planned Parenthood that's killing babies. And as part of the process, they found out that the people who were hiring them to kill the babies, to have the babies be born and then kill them by vivisection so they could get fresh organs, they sent those fresh organs to Fauci and his departments so they could create this abomination they call humanized mice. Stick human parts into a mouse and then test it. For what? It'll allow conservatives to put front and center an uncomfortable truth for pro-choice advocates. Late-term abortions sometimes result in infants being born alive and left to die with comfort care, which is no care at all. The language of Minnesota's born alive abortion reports from 2019 through 2023 are as plain and clear as they are likely shocking. Americans are unaware that the new Democrat vice president nominee presided over a state that allowed eight infants to die without life-saving care on his watch before they stopped reporting it. So, they have excerpts from the report here. But the bottom line is that Gallup reported in 2023, the same year that Walz signed these laws to hide what they're doing, that majorities of Americans oppose legal abortion in the second trimester. 55% oppose it there, and 70% oppose it during the third trimester. Rasmussen told Just the News. He said, we've done some research, and when you say that most Democrats have supported abortion up to the moment of birth, he said, hardly anybody believes you. He said, only 5% of voters believe that a woman should be able to have an abortion at any time up to the moment of birth with no exceptions and no restrictions. And he said, and by the way, on the other side, only 5% are saying that there should be no abortions allowed, you know, regardless of any other restrictions. So there you go. I'm an extremist when it comes to protecting free speech. And I'm an extremist when it comes to protecting life. And I'm not ashamed of either one. And I'm not going to change. He said, they're extremists, they're radicals, they're out of the mainstream. Sometimes the mainstream's wrong. Well, Lala Harris. You remember back in March, and it was the first time that a vice president had done a tour of an abortion clinic. None of them had visited an abortion clinic. Just not good optics. But she wanted those optics. She wanted to make abortion the number one issue with her campaign. Well, we're going to make it an issue for her campaign. Sure are. First ever vice president to visit an abortion clinic. And where did she do it? In Minnesota. In Minnesota. Right there with Tim Walsh. Lala Harris prompted backlash from some pro-life groups in March. And I went back and found this report. For her scheduled Thursday visit to Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic in Minnesota. Minnesota has no restrictions on the procedure. They enacted a law last year stipulating that every individual who becomes pregnant, notice that they say every individual, pregnant person, not a woman, a pregnant person. Every individual who becomes pregnant has a fundamental right to continue the pregnancy and give birth or to obtain an abortion and to make autonomous decisions about how to exercise this fundamental right. But you don't have a right to determine when you're going to wear a mask or get a vaccine or whether you're going to walk around outdoors or go to a function or go to church or anything. No, you don't have that right. We're not going to give you a choice about that. Just if you want to kill your kid, we'll support that choice. Minnesota became a sanctuary state for sex change surgeries for kids. If you can't chop them up in the womb, you can get them in the schoolroom, right? That's what this is about. Killing the kids in the schoolroom or in the womb. Either way, the Democrats are going to come after the kids. Here is Tim Walsh as he is doing the signing here. And you'll see if you're watching this, there's a red circle drawn around some of these kids. It's some families. These people, of course, are not weird. These are parents who are not weird. They just dress their kid up as the opposite sex and parade them around in some kind of Munchausen by proxy nonsense.
The purpose of being here is we've been signing a lot of bills. We've been welcoming our neighbors back into their community.
It's neighborly.
We're restoring voting rights to folks. We're making sure that our neighbors can drive to their kids' soccer games. So today, I am directing my state agency.
Unless there's COVID out there.
To protect and support the rights of Minnesota's LGBTQIA+ community.
Yeah, there he is. He's signing it. There's a kids who are dressed up as that. One of them holding a little stuffed animal, but knows that she's the wrong gender.
And guess what?
Oh, there we go.
Love wins. Here you go.
Love wins. It is loving. It is loving to abort kids, and it is loving to mutilate kids. Come on. What's the matter with us? You know, those unloving people like me who say that you need to leave the kids alone. As we talk about criminals, you know, when I mentioned that with abortion and how they would have full term babies and they would kill them, leave them to die, and then stop the reporting of it, and compared that to the number of people, far more kids murdered that way than almost all the other states. I mean, they were up there with and beyond Texas in terms of executions. But then talk about chemical castration. There's even fewer states that do chemical castration for sexual offenders. Only 4 states that I could find do chemical castration of sex offenders. A lot more states than that do chemical castration of children. Of children. They treat children worse than they do. They treat babies worse than they do convicted murderers. And they treat young children worse than they do sex offenders. Because they're sex offenders. People like Tim Walz, Lala Harris, murdering satanic sex offenders. That's what they are. And Planned Parenthood. The way it was reported was that Minnesota Governor Walz has signed into law separate measures to protect abortion providers in the state. Well, who would that be? Planned Parenthood, of course. Planned Parenthood has a new profit center mutilating kids chemically and otherwise, but certainly chemically, to allow chemical and surgical castration and other body mutilating procedures to be performed on minors who are confused about their sexual identity or suffer from gender dysphoria. They suffer from gaslighting. By this program of schools. It just amazes me that we have government schools that I have to pay taxes for. You've got to pay taxes to support these schools. And what do? They gaslight and mutilate children. But, of course, wasn't it bad enough what they were doing to them mentally and spiritually? Now they're doing it physically as well. We didn't care when it was mental and spiritual. So now they've progressed on to the physical. And people still won't shut down these predatory institutions we call schools. Walz signed three bills into law in 2023, which he hailed on Twitter as protecting, quote, people seeking or providing abortions in Minnesota and access to gender-affirming health care, and also banning the harmful practice of conversion therapy, he said. Why do they use that term? You know, they're talking about, when they talk about conversion therapy, they're talking about something that's done by these psychology quacks, psychologists. You know, it's it's another pseudoscience out there. But they use the term conversion because ultimately they want to be able, after they've established that, they want to be able to pivot to people who are talking about Christian conversion. That's the purpose. That's why they use that term. Conversion therapy. The term conversion therapy often also includes counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction. So the bill would prevent, that he signed, would prevent the use of subpoenas to gather information for out-of-state laws and interfering in the use of gender-affirming health care. In other words, other states would subpoena this information. And so just like the murders that he did of full-term babies and covered up, right? They've got to cover up what they're doing in terms of mutilating and castrating kids chemically. Even from subpoenas from out-of-state agencies or either other state governments, they're not going to respond to the subpoenas. So we're going to keep all the stuff secret. So the groomers, people who say, don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents, don't tell this law enforcement agency in the other state, don't tell the other state, don't tell any of these agents, don't tell anybody what we're doing to you, okay? Groomers, sex offenders, predators. It bars the enforcement of court orders that involve the removal of a child issued in another state also because of the child's parent or guardian assisted the child in receiving gender-affirming care in this state. So, that's the refuge, making it a sanctuary city. You know, if you are a mentally disturbed parent and there's a rational parent, the mentally disturbed parent can flee to California or can go to Minnesota, and the rational parent can't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, also standing here he is talking about more of this.
People, a parent, transparent. About his family.
My partner Gretchen and I are here today because we are parents of a trans child.
Their child is 6 years old.
6 years old.
He was as excited to be at a boring capital on spring break as any six-year-old kid could be. Squirming and fidgeting her way through speeches, hardly aware her existence as why her parents drove 5 hours today to speak publicly.
It's 100% personal. I mean, the safety.
They want you to believe that young child who can't talk, the 6 years old.
It couldn't be more.
Knows that they're in the wrong body.
I'm not sure, why are we here today?
These parents ought to be arrested.
Right?
For her rights to be her.
As you can see from this interview, I can't force my kids to do anything here. Asher has trusted us enough. She believes in our love enough that she
created
us into
6-year-old boy.
And if we don't love her that much, the opposite would happen, where we wouldn't get to know everything about her. And so we're lucky, we're blessed, and we love
It's
her.
Not love, lady.
They came to
it's sick.
House.
It's sick. That's just one of the most sick things I've ever seen. And then this.
And what we want to say is we're there to protect children. We're there to have you understand that in Minnesota you're going to be protected. And I just want to be clear. I will never understand what goes into the thinking of these folks to bully
yeah, I
these
won't
children.
Either.
It is not impacting them in one bit and making it a living
You're protecting
hell
those
for
abusive
children,
parents,
for families, for adults, for folks who are just trying to bring themselves in. So in Minnesota,
well,
we're
you,
making
this,
it very
this is
going to
be an interesting election. that guy, he's gonna be featured quite a bit on this program.
Hearing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets simply aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Break free from the usual script with a David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.